Our reading for today begins in the second chapter of Mark, verse 1. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And when he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them, and they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were thus questioning within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." So Jesus returns to Capernaum, and Mark describes it as him being at home, but I think he's probably referring to Peter's house. We know that Jesus didn't really have a home. I mean, I'm sure his parents had a home, but later on we'll see that Jesus told others that he had nowhere to lay his head. In other words, he had no home. He was without things that other people maybe even took for granted. And so others hear that he's back in town, and so they come in such a large crowd that says there was no more room, not even at the door. And he begins to take the opportunity to teach them, to speak the word. This is what Jesus is here to do. Yeah, he does a lot of healing, and that's probably what prompted them to show up in the first place, because the last time he was here, he did a whole lot of healing. However, his real role was to proclaim the word of God, to proclaim righteousness, to convince people to repent, turn toward God. And of course, it was going to culminate in his sacrifice in order to allow them then to have that relationship with God. And so as they gather together here and he's preaching this word, there is this paralytic that is carried by four men. And I think that says something about the four men. I think it says something about the paralytic. There was a bond with these four men that they're going to go to extraordinary effort in order to try to get him to the point that Jesus would see him, come in contact with him, and the expectation was that he would heal him. They're really trying to do something special for this man. So there must be some kind of great friendship between these five people. So when they show up and they realize that they can't get in the door, they can't get inside at all, they go so far as to remove the roof and let him down through the roof. I have no idea what a difficult task it might have been to remove the roof. Maybe it was easy, maybe it was hard, I have no idea. But can you imagine taking a man who's a paralytic, who's being carried on a bed, and getting him up on the roof of a house? And then to safely lower him down into the house through the roof? I think it's quite an undertaking. So they do this, and Jesus, it says, saw their faith. So not only do they have this bond with this man, but they're not just doing all this in hopes that maybe everything that everybody has been saying about Jesus was real. No, they believe that it's real. They believe that Jesus can heal him. And they believe that it's likely that Jesus would use that power to heal this paralytic. So when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, now stop there for a moment and just put yourself in the paralytic's shoes for a moment. You're expectant. What's he going to say to me? Is he going to talk to me? Is he just going to heal me right off the bat? But what does he say? Your sins are forgiven. Now, if he's a person of faith, that is of value. And he is going to rejoice at such a thing being said to him. But I don't think that's why he showed up. I don't think that's why his friends brought him here. He wants to hear different words. He wants to hear, rise, take up your bed and walk. That's what he wants to hear. But Jesus is working up to that. He's not overlooking his physical condition, but he's doing two things. First is, he's placing an emphasis on the spiritual. The second is that he's going to make a point with the other people that are around him. So the scribes are there, and they're questioning, why does this man speak like this? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Well, let me ask you this. Who can heal a paralytic? Who can tell a paralytic, rise, take up your bed and walk, and it actually happened? Well, only one who is working by the power of God. God is the one that does the healing, not the person. They're a conduit, if you will. And that's the way they're used to thinking about things. You know, you think back to Elijah and Elisha and all the different things in the book, in the prophets from the Old Testament, all the different things that were done. They're realizing that if those things came true, then you know the words were true. So when they performed a miraculous event, it was still to prove that what they were saying was coming from God. Jesus starts with the words, your sins are forgiven, and he's going to then provide the proof that God is the one that is working and approves of these things, thereby giving Jesus both the power to heal and the authority to forgive sins. So they're saying he's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they were thus questioning within themselves, Jesus knows the hearts of men, he said, why do you question these things in your hearts? That should have told them something. Maybe they think he's guessing, but if he was guessing, it was a really accurate guess. But he's not. He can read the hearts of men. And so he doesn't wait for them to answer, or maybe they're stupefied where they're not going to give an answer. He says, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, rise up, take your bed and walk? Well, which is easier? Well, both of them require God, don't they? I mean, no man can heal and no man can forgive sins unless God wants them to. And that's the premise that Jesus is working from for them. So he says, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Okay, so that you know that the previous words are by the approval of the Father. I'm going to now say, rise, take up your bed and go home. And that is a miraculous event they can see that will prove both. The man arises, picks up his bed, goes out before them. They were all amazed and they glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Jesus proved that he had the authority and he had the power, and that he was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God. But let's go back to that question of which is easier. Which is easier, the miraculous event or the forgiveness of sins? I think what he's saying is the miraculous event is the easier part. And that's what he does. Now, I mentioned to you that he was placing a focus on the spiritual as well. And that's important because even though this man is healed of being a paralytic, what's eventually going to happen to this man? He's going to grow old and he's going to die. We all die. But Jesus came that we may have life, and that would be life abundantly, life eternal. By focusing on the spiritual, you focus on something that lasts a whole lot more than being able to walk, being able to have, you know, be healthy. And that's what we need to do. We need to focus on the spiritual. Does that mean we completely ignore the physical? No. But the spiritual is more important. That's what we need to think about today. Let's pray that we think about the spiritual today. What's really lasting, what's really important. Make your calling and election sure and be faithful in the sight of God. That's what will bring eternal life, is obedience to him through Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening today, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.